a part of all this.
Whether a deal was actually made.
Neither was I. So you can allege whatever you like about it, and I can't respond to him because I wasn't there, and you know, tapes can be doctored, so I don't know what the heck.
You're on Free Radio Santa Cruz, listening to Bathrop Spears Broadsides and Mayor Mike Rodkin.
I think it was Sunday's Mercury came out with a quote: San Mateo County shelters are also battling the public perception that homeless shelters house criminals. An image driven by the revelation in 1993 that Richard Allen Davis, the accused killer of Polly Klass, stayed at the Turning Point shelter in a residential neighborhood shortly before the slaying occurred. I believe if there may be a higher predilection among the homeless of shadier types, but I think that Richard Allen Davis, who I guess is pleaded guilty and is not just trying to escape the death penalty over in Santa Clara, where they moved his trial, change of venue, it would be safer to house the homeless than that we turn them away. I believe he was thrown out of the Turning Point shelter in May. You know, this type of pressure, I think it's obvious that this type of pressure in depriving people, even criminals or former criminals, people who are on probation, I mean, these are not exactly the success cases in our society that people become homeless. It would be safer if we would house them in jails that are not locked, that we called shelters. I mean, you don't have to put a $22,000, $28,000 piece of metal surrounded by bailiffs and all that dreary, drab, gulag environment. He actually did kill, I think it was a 12-year-old girl. I just went in front of a judge who sentenced somebody, Judge Kyle, Kathleen Kyle, on a traffic ticket, who sentenced somebody who, on mere allegation of molestation of a 12-year-old, went down for 25 years on a first strike. And at first, the Richard Allen Davis murder of Polly Klass produced this hideous law known as the three strikes, where people who steal a pair of socks if they have a prior felony history, two prior felonies, go to jail without question, without the judge's hands are tied to sentence a person to 25 years. So it's a degradation of the morals for to tie the hands of these judges to require them to make sentences equivalent to equivalenting murder one with stealing a pizza or even a molestation. Well, we have 25 year sentence, mm-hmm. But it makes the career of the Pete Wilson types, whose vocal cords even Jesus Christ went after he made an anti-immigration speech running for his pitiful presidential campaign. And then, you know, after doing that in front of the Statue of Liberty, hopefully everyone saw through that. Mm-hmm. Now his DA, Lundgren, Dan Lundgren, wants to be governor. And it's a type of Dan Lundgren types, and a type of locally Art Danner types that overcharge people. Third strike felonies, you can go to jail for 25 years under third strike for puffing on a marijuana cigarette. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just that they don't charge it, even that they formally can, and it's even possible that somebody could get a quarter decade mandatory, no judge discretion whatsoever under this third strike. Mm-hmm. Miscegenation law is the degradation of values that I would say is the degradation of values. So anyway, whether the murder of Polly Klass was due to the sleep deprivation of her murderer being turned out by a shelter, mm-hmm. is a question.
Well, we'll think about that. Any further updates before I got a guy here who's waiting to come in?
Yeah, I'd rather have homeless people in shelters or in campgrounds or both, mm-hmm. and that would be safer than cutting them loose to find and compete with each other up there in the woods.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that would be safer. It would make more sense from a law enforcement standpoint. I simply don't want to pay $22,000 a year to put some hemp head in jail for 25 years. Mm-hmm. That's crazy.
Right.
So Tuesday, 9 a.m. will be against the $750,000. 9 a.m. The Board of Supervisors is coming out with a $750,000 effort to hire helicopters to search for these three.
I thought it was a $250,000 effort.
Yeah, well, it's over 3 years, though. This is the first of 3 years.
Oh, I see. I got you.
Yeah, something like an 18-time multiple increase in funding.
Well, let me run on you unless there's something more you got to say quickly because I've got to finish
this. No,
that's
it. That's it. Just the safety of how safe we are if we're ignoring homeless people, depriving them of psychological necessities, and driving them over the edge, and whether that's a contribution to crime. I think it is.
Thank you, Chris.
Sure.
And I'm going to try to quickly finish this tape, but the caller makes some good points. And indeed, you know, the situation of being homeless is really a difficult situation for a man coming out of jail. Miguel Balderos, who's occasionally been at the protest, who actually went to jail because one of the strikes against him was a burglary charge because he came back with a flashlight to get a blanket from a house he stayed in, an earthquake-damaged house, after the earthquake because he was afraid of troll busters and police harassment under the Santa Cruz City sleeping ban. And he's gone to prison on subsequent charges based on one of those as a strike, and he's been paroled, and now he's in a situation where his parole board has told him because he can be homeless only over the weekend. He's been staying up at, I guess, Holy Cross Church, where some folks have been able to stay. But now on Monday he has to find a new situation or else he goes back to jail. So, you know, be homeless and be on parole, go to jail. It's a horrible scene. Let's continue and hope to conclude with this Rotkin tape since we're way out of time here.
It's a full tape.
Anyway, I was not there, so I'm the wrong person to ask. You know, talk to the people who were there about what was placed
right,
or not placed.
You understand the criticism that I've made, that you can suddenly announce that even if CCH decided it wanted to keep the campground open, they couldn't because somehow it didn't have a permit, when in fact you had no problems with CCH doing its activity throughout the other months. I mean, it sounded to me like you were simply enforcing your own sense of what was appropriate by suddenly saying, oh, it doesn't have a permit, therefore it has to close, whereas before it had been open with no problem.
I think there's lots of laws that go unenforced because nobody notices them, there's not a problem, people think it's, you know, look the other way because there's not, you know, a serious problem with them. I think that happens everywhere, to be realistic about society. And I think that the problems at the campground at Coral Street, the Back 40 as it's known, have become so serious that they came to people's attention, at which point there are laws on the books, there was a lack of a permit, and I was simply expressing what the legal situation was.
This really comes into the category of a straight lie. The problems at the Coral Street shelter were the problems of the managers who couldn't get adequate porta-potties, wouldn't keep their deals with the people who were trying to clean up and monitor the campground, many of whom were from the camper's own organization, and decided they wanted to close down the campground so they could put in their trailer project. Rotkin supported them. It was as simple as that, unfortunately. And then the rest of it is fabrication and exaggeration.
As long as the place ran in a way that people didn't have problems with it, where people were not, council wasn't getting complaints from people about being beaten there, being raped there, having violence, having their property stolen. And I'm talking homeless people having these complaints.
You received these complaints in December?
Received these complaints in November and December from campers at the area, calling the mayor's office, complaining about these problems.
How many complaints did you receive?
Received three or four complaints.
Three or four complaints of theft. He claims people being raped there. I'm not aware of anyone who was really raped there. Maybe there was someone. Certainly not more than one person. Again, we're talking wild charges he's suddenly throwing around to justify, admittedly, a wild decision on his part to make hundreds of people homeless by supporting the closing of the only legal place for people to sleep in Santa Cruz in December, and continuing to support this policy by supporting the city's anti-homeless sleeping ban.
People having their stuff stolen, had received over a period a growing number of complaints, probably 10 or 12 of them over the 6 months preceding, about people having been beaten out there or, you know, beaten up or whatever. One complaint about somebody being raped in the area. And again, the flooding area, which is really, to be honest, the cause of what went on, looked out there, didn't seem like a safe place for people to be sleeping under those rains. We had that day where the rain ran sideways, it was serious rain, basically felt it was not a safe place for people to be. When the Citizens Committee decided it was not a safe place for people to be sleeping and asked us, you know, what was our view of that and stuff, I gave them my personal view of the matter, and I believe that my view is shared by a majority of the council, but like you said, I can't speak for a majority of the council on an issue where they haven't taken a position. So basically what I was saying was what the existing law was. And the fact that people look the other way for 2 years or a year and a half or whatever it was doesn't mean that there's not a permit system in place, a law in place. And basically it was just letting people know what the situation was, that I did not believe that the city council was somehow going to look the other way under the conditions that we were facing in December.
But in fact, the city council wouldn't have met until January, or actually late December, and the city council could have taken whatever action it could have taken and people could have had a place to stay. This was a concocted excuse.
And I'm afraid, however rapidly Mike talks about it, it doesn't alter the fact that there was there was certainly more of a health hazard, more of a safety hazard through closing the campground than through keeping it open. But it certainly helped the Citizens Committee put up their fence.
I have many more questions to ask, but you've been too generous with your time already, so let me hope that it's a future time I can ask you questions. I'm interested in the CDBG funding that's coming up,
sure,
and other topics, such as the infamous Drum Out the Drummers law.
You're listening to Free Radio Santa Cruz. This has been Bathrobes Pierre's Broadsides, 2 hours on Monday and Friday that concern themselves with civil rights for the poor. I invite you to go to the Board of Supervisors meeting tomorrow at 9, as Crossroads Chris has recommended, to oppose the $250,000 giveaway for marijuana suppression, so-called. Go to the City Council meeting at 7 o'clock to speak against the Drum Out the Drummers law and to speak at the public comment section about whatever you have to say. If you don't go there, listen to Becky Johnson's interviews with Celine Pascal and Sherry Connable on Channel 71 on Wednesday at 7 o'clock. It's Loudoun Nelson Center for a Forum on the Homeless. That's 7 o'clock on Wednesday. Thursday at 1 o'clock, attend the Downtown Commission hearing, which is a Downtown Commission. The merchants get together, and they've got some new shenanigans in store for us, I'm afraid, 1 o'clock at City Hall. I'll try to have more information for you on a subsequent program, perhaps tomorrow morning. Finally, on Thursday afternoon, 4 o'clock, the Citizens Committee for the Homeless meets at Garfield Park Church. If you want to check out what they're doing, or what they're not doing, actually, more likely, you can go and see what's happening there. Finally, at 12:30 Saturday at the town clock, there's going to be a march against the sleeping ban, as well as in solidarity with other basic causes. I'm Bathrobes Pierre Robert. I'm about to sign off. This is the last call.
Hi, you're on Free Radio Santa Cruz.
Hi, I was at the last Loudoun Nelson homeless get-together.
Yes.
And I just got my ass beat by some two-bit punks, and I don't think that it's ever really that fun.
How did that happen? What happened there?
I was just standing there saying party, and all of a sudden they just beat the living crap out of me.
Now, when was this?
Last year.
Last year?
Loudoun Nelson.
At Loudoun Nelson?
Yes.
Well, it's not going to happen this time. I'll be there, and I'll be keeping my eye on what's going on, so don't be afraid to come to this one. This is actually kind of a forum, right? In one room, it's everyone's, you know, peaceful. I've been to these forums before. So you might consider coming anyway, and if you do, just look for me. I'm the guy with the beard and the big belly.
Yeah.
Again, feel free, by the way, to give me a call later or talk to me more about this. My number is 423-HUFF, 423-4833.
Oh, yeah.
423-4833, and because I'd like to hear more about what happened to you. I'd like to I want to know what went on.
Yeah.
What's your name? First name.
Johnny,
and yeah, give me a call at 423-HUFF and talk to me some more, or actually what I'll do is I'll take the rest of this call off the air because we have our next DJ here who's been patiently waiting.
Really?
And hang on a second, I'm going off the air, don't hang up.
Okay.
Folks, tune in next Friday for Bathrobes Pierre's Broadsides, that's 10 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
And we'll be seeing you then. Thank you for being with us.
Coming up next on Free